Next to our the next presentation we have will be coming from one of my favorite people, Dr. David Bonato. Non-mechanized logging in Washington State. Can we incentivize safety? Dr. David Bonato is a research director for the Safety and Health Assessment and Research for Prevention Program, which is SHARP, based at Washington State Labor, Department of Labor and Industry. SHARP conducts research for primary prevention of work-related injuries and illnesses.
So I'm really going to go to give you an overview of what's going to turn out to be probably about a $4 or $5 million intervention to improve safety and logging in Washington State. Washington State is fortunate to have a single-payer workers' compensation system, which allows certain activities such as a program like this. I have nothing to disclose. All of this work is funded by the Washington State Department of Labor and Industries. So I want to start out with a story. Bob Harrison actually has taught a lot of us in the occupational safety and health world to talk about stories. I had to get you off your cell phone, Bob. So, okay, gotcha. So this gentleman was a brush picker for 6 years. Brush picking is basically picking salal for floral displays. It's a piece rate labor. It's terribly paid. Actually struck it big, got a job for a logging company, basically as a choker setter, which is a person who wraps chokers around the edges of logs. His first day of work, 4 hours into the job, they were doing something called a road change, moving the cables around. He was actually alone on the work site, got struck in the abdomen with a cable. Actually was bruised, went to the healthcare the local hospital. They discussed his injury, told him to come back. He went home. His fiance said for 4 days he had terrible abdominal pain, and then was subsequently found dead on the fourth day. He had a ruptured colon. It's very hard to do that. You really need to get whacked in the abdomen pretty significantly to have something like that happen. And he was dead. Now, that story is horrible. I'm unfortunately familiar with that from the 22 fatalities in the last decade in the logging industry. There's similar horrible stories. The follow-up, though, is that any fatality in Washington State automatically gets triggered to a safety inspection, as well as a variety of other auditing processes. So this finding was basically of an unregistered logger. Premiums that were supposed to be paid to the state were in the order of about $320,000. That's actually with a discount, and I can explain that on the side about why there was a discount associated with that. Actually, the compliance inspection revealed that almost all of their operational processes for logging were backward, and there were multiple safety violations. And the company basically set up a premium payment plan and continues to work in Washington without significant changes in their safety protocols, except potentially for this intervention. He was 32. The obituary said he was shipped back to Mexico in a box. That is not how this intervention started. This intervention started in 2012. And if you look at this is a premium rate chart. We basically, in Washington, charge premium based on hours worked. It's done by something called a risk classification system, which is sort of this hybrid of occupation and industry. 5001 non-mechanized logging is basically the premium rate that we're sort of focused on. So in 2012, the major landowners in Washington State, as well as the contract loggers, the folks who do the work, knocked on the director's door and said the economic viability of logging in Washington State is at risk. We need you to cut the premium. They didn't ask why the premium was so high, but basically the story sort of unfolds from there. So this is in January 2012. Mr. Patricio died around the same time. They didn't mention anything about safety. So this is actually a public health chart. You may not think that way, but this is a public health chart. There has to be a reason as to why premium goes up so high, so quickly. So I want to give you a little background and then sort of go from there. So logging, basically it's a pretty simple process. You cut the tree down, you have to get the tree from where it's cut down to a place where you can put it on a truck. In between, you cut off all the limbs and you cut it to length. Logging has always been a high hazard industry, and injury severity is always very high. You can do logging in a couple different ways. So with the advent of basically mechanization during the 60s, 70s, 80s, more or less you can do cutting in something called a feller buncher. It's a machine, big disc spins on the bottom. They grab the tree, cut the base, put the tree into a spot, and then they subsequently move that tree with something called a shovel or a gravel skidder to an area where they process it, and then there's processing machines. So that's relatively straightforward. And mechanization, but a lot of logging in Washington State is done by non-mechanized, and it's done this way because the slopes are steep, so you can't get a machine on. The soils sometimes are unstable, same thing, limits the idea of getting a machine on a steep slope. And the other thing is that some of the mechanization of cutting is limited by the diameter of the trees. You really can't do mechanized cutting for a tree of over 24 inches in diameter. And so the way to do that is basically do a lot of hand cutting with a chainsaw. Then there's folks who actually delimit and cut it to length. And then they sort of drag it up the slope with these cable yard logging systems. So this is sort of a typical cable logging system. There's a tower over to the right that's sort of set up with a series of guy lines. There's these sort of main line and haulback lines that sort of come down. So the folks who work on these types of jobs, basically there's someone sort of at the base, this he manages the entire cable system. The choker setters are sort of down in the on the slope, sort of swinging the, putting the logs onto the cable system. And then there's a person on the landing called the chaser who unhooks the chokers. These are the folks who basically get injured. The typical wage for a choker setter is about $15 an hour. So going back to that chart, the reason why insurance premium goes up is either there's an increase in the frequency of injuries, so you're getting more injuries than you expect. The injuries are much more severe than you expect, and severity is really dollars lost. Or your exposure is changing, meaning you're not collecting the same amount of premium that you would expect. So here are some injury rates in logging. Now, logging in the North American Industrial Classification System has this one code, and it doesn't really split out non-mechanized and mechanized logging. So the folks who are out on the ground are really categorized in the insurance system as non-mechanized logging, and the folks in the cab of the machine are mechanized. And so here's the difference in the accepted claims rate. So this is data coming into our workers' compensation system. So in non-mechanized logging, the accepted claim rate, just simplifying this, is 6 per 10 FTE, so that's an annual rate. And then compensable claims, those injuries that result in 3 days of time loss is basically 3 per 10 FTE. So these are astronomical injury rates, whereas there's an incredible safety advantage to having the person in a machine, and it's basically an order of magnitude less or order of magnitude more for non-mechanized logging. So it's very clear that logging, really, there's differential risk between mechanized and non-mechanized. This is just basically sort of a little bit of description. There does not seem to be an increasing trend. The trend between 2004 and 2010 was pretty flat in terms of an injury rate, looking at compensable claims, and in 2011, 2012, there was a reduction. And this is the hospitalization rate. So it's basically proving the point, high risk in industry in this non-mechanized sort of portion of the logging industry, and the hospitalization rates are basically 57 times that of the rest of all industry combined in Washington. It's 15 times the rate of the logging, of mechanized logging, and then a high-risk construction group, the hospitalization rate is 6 times. Mechanized logging is non-mechanized is 6 times that of wood frame construction. So this injury, this hospitalization rate is 4 per 100 FTE, so it's quite astronomical. So in terms of losses, I'm actually going to skip this quickly, but all I want to say is that there's an incredible concentrated risk. The people who get injured very severely are generally the ones who are hit by logs. Basically, when it's a log versus a person, the person loses very significantly. Okay, so and then in terms of premium increasing, there's a whole series of issues that go into employers not paying their premium. They sort of know how to manipulate the system, and one of the key ways to do that is basically say that everybody's an independent contractor or not pay your premium by not reporting the hours that you work. So in terms of why the premium was increasing in Washington State, it was basically a high hazard industry with a high injury rate led to a high premium, and there was this sort of cycle of underreporting hours that led to an increased premium. So this is what we were sort of set with in 2012 as to sort of how to start thinking about incentivizing safety and sort of reducing premium, which is what our stakeholders wanted. So what happened was they all came together and developed the Logger Safety Initiative, and it was a partnership between the private landowners, those are small folks, Washington contract loggers, those are the people who do the actual logging, certain other logging companies, the State Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Labor and Industries. And we put together this safety accord, and the accord focused on promoting safety, reducing frequency and severity of injuries, increasing proper reporting, and sort of figuring out a way to create a safety culture. Basically, the CEOs of the major landowners, as well as logging companies in Washington State, signed this. The governor signed it, and a variety of directors saying, we're going to work together to figure this all out. So when you run an insurance program that's more or less a state monopoly, you have to be really careful about when you start giving money out. Because if you give money out to one group, another group shows up the door asking for the same type of discount. So we had to develop a program that was credible for a discount. And there were a variety of other considerations, which I'll talk about in a second. But the last one was the other thing, is that there's a lot of interventions that occur. There's a short-term effect. And the ability to sustain an intervention and sort of sustain sort of prevention of injuries over time was sort of a key consideration in terms of developing our program. What I mentioned before is that there's a lot of economic pressures given a $20 an hour premium to force people into independent owner-operator contractor status. So in this industry, in non-mechanized logging, a lot of the hand-faulers were inappropriately classified as independent operators. So you would have certain logging companies actually hiring 13 independent, theoretically independent contract cutters, and then sort of orchestrating all of their work, which was really a misclassification of their employment status. So we knew this was another major issue. So how did we put this all together? Well, we dragged everybody into the room, into several rooms. There was a technical task force developed and a policy task force. These met every 2 weeks for about 4 hours at a time for a year and a half, developing model safety programs, training programs, sort of an audit program to evaluate safety on the ground, as well as a policy committee, which really sort of deflected attention from the legislature, the governor, and every other political entity to try to develop this program without a lot of interference. We sort of learned a little bit from some of the research done from one of my colleagues, Mike Foley, basically that demonstrated that when you have our state OSHA program involved either through consultation or compliance, that actually is very effective in reducing claim rates. Some of this data has been published in the American Journal of Industrial Medicine, and fundamentally DOSH consultation activity can lead to about an 8% reduction in compensable claim rates. So we learned from this sort of research. So here is what our premium incentive looks like for contract loggers. And so this is the commitment both from landowners as well as logging companies for what they will do to get a 10% discount on their premium. And then there's another tier for a 20% discount. So first of all, they have to sign up. The next thing they have to do is they have to undergo a premium audit. So there's a belief, at least I hold this belief, that if somebody's skimping out on their financial responsibilities in terms of reporting premium, that probably is linked to sort of a poor safety record. So in this program, we demanded that they get an annual audit of what they pay to our program, annual review of their books. And when you show up at a contract logger and all they do is the cable rigging portion of it, you always ask them who cuts your wood. And they usually give you somebody who cuts their wood, and you basically then do a spin-off audit to sort of capture a lot of this underreporting and sort of inappropriate classification of independent owner-operators. We also demanded that they monthly report their workers and their hours, as well as tell us where they work. So in order to get this discount, a contract logger has to say, I'm going to be at this site from this period of time doing this work. And there is no expectation that they are free from either compliance or compliance visits from our state OSHA program. So in other words, they're basically telling us where they work, and there's an expectation that they could get a compliance visit for safety. They had to undergo an annual DOSH safety consultation visit. So that's full service. They go through all the processes to evaluate their safety. They have to appoint an on-site safety supervisor, enhanced training programs. Basically, a new cutter undergoes 180 days of training before they're allowed to cut by themselves. They have to have monthly safety inspections done by this on-site supervisor, and they have to basically adopt an accident prevention program that is above the minimum OSHA standards. Once they do that, they qualify for a 10% discount on their premium, and then if they meet that, they're eligible for a third-party audit program, which is basically we contracted with a whole other entity to evaluate their training programs to make sure that they are adhering to them, as well as make sure that the monthly safety inspections were performed well. The third-party auditor goes out and actually visualizes the operations of the logging firm, and if they pass that third-party audit, they get 20% discount. Considering that it's a pretty significant relationship between landowners and contract loggers, we wanted to drag the landowners in. So there's some major landowners in Washington State, Weyerhaeuser, Green Diamond, Rainier. The state actually owns a lot of land. And so we basically asked the landowners to basically promise that they would hire only the LSIs, the Logging Safety Initiative certified contractors. So in other words, we're putting economic pressure on the logging industry to get certified through our program so that they basically would be eligible for hiring. We learned that from British Columbia. And then when a landowner hires somebody who's not certified in the program, they have to report that to our agency, and there would be an expectation of increased DOSH compliance inspections in those non-LSI certified contractors. The landowners also have to participate in review of the accidents and near miss investigations and review the accident prevention programs. And they also have to contribute funds to training. And so 9 of the major landowners in Washington State have basically signed on. Interestingly enough, the state agency has not signed on, which owns about 20% of the land. So we've gotten this program started in 2014. This is sort of initial results. The bottom axis is basically the number of FTE in the non-mechanized logging, so 5-plus manual logging FTE, that's basically they're reporting at least 10,000 hours to us on an annual basis for non-mechanized logging. So the blue column basically suggests that a significant portion of those folks are actually engaged in the Logging Safety Initiative. And then the smaller guys are actually not engaging. A lot of that has to do with the amount of effort that they have to put into improving their safety programs. So a lot of those guys are getting compliance inspections. So that's it. There's a lot of people involved with this. We've sort of set up in a whole evaluation, which hopefully after a couple years we'll have enough data to sort of say whether or not this is working or not. It's an iterative program. We meet, again, regularly with these folks, so there's always enhancements that are occurring. Any questions?